Palm City, the good news station.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
We continue to expect moderate economic growth, further labor market improvement, and a return of inflation to our 2% objective in 2 to 3 years.
The Federal Reserve is leaving its key interest rate unchanged.
The Federal Open Market Committee decided to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 0.25% to 0.5%.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen said the decision was made after an assessment of the economic outlook. She told a news briefing that moderate economic growth should continue in coming months. Yellen said global developments still pose risks to the U.S. economy. The Fed last raised its benchmark rate from near zero to a range of 0.25% to 0.5% in December. The Pentagon is restricting the travel of military members to West Africa. The move comes after gunmen linked to Al-Qaeda killed 18 people at a beachside resort in Ivory Coast. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com. or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
Research center that studied the opinions between American Jews with the Jewish population of Israel, some major differences were discovered. I spoke to Pew senior researcher Neha Segal in Tel Aviv about the opinions regarding, is it true that God gave Israel to the Jews?
We find a huge difference even in the idea of God gave the land to the Jewish people. American Jews are much likely to say yes to this than Israeli Jews.
What about those who believe Israel can be a democracy and a Jewish state at the same time?
Among American Jews, a majority, approximately about close to 6 in 10, say that this is possible, that a two-state solution is possible. But among Israelis, just 43% agree with this view.
The survey involved American Jews with those living in Israel that make up 80% of the world's total Jewish population, examined a number of other subjects. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Jones coming back to the big screen, Disney announcing that there will be a fifth movie in the Raiders of the Lost Ark series. At premieres in July of 2019, Harrison Ford will return as Indiana Jones and Steven Spielberg will direct. A Florida woman is fighting to keep her pet alligator. We get more from USA Radio's Anthony Lucero.
Mary Thorne of Lakeland, Florida is fighting to keep her pet alligator after the Florida Wildlife Commission said she might have to give it up. The pet alligator, named Rambo, is 15 years old and potty trained and has been with Thorne for the past 10 years. Thorne does have a license to keep Rambo at her home, but the animal has now grown past the allowable 6-foot limit. Her case will be heard by a judge to see if she could possibly be granted special permission to keep Rambo.
A new home construction in the United States up higher than expected. A new Commerce Department report saying housing starts in February climbing over 5%. Higher than economists forecasted. This is USA Radio News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we live right now? Should I be talking? Wait a minute. Did you already do my disclaimer?
Yeah, we did all the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff?
Yeah, the fun stuff's out of the way.
All right. So guess what? This is Joe Martech, and we are live on WCNO. And for those of you that can tell people that don't live in the radio radius, you can listen to us. Watch, and you can't watch us, but you can listen to us on a computer on WCNO.com, right?
That's right.
And can you believe this? My uncle, who's in the hospital today up in Michigan with pneumonia, you know what happens is old people get to die, right?
Right.
I told him he can't die until I can afford to come up for the funeral. So he has to wait a couple months. Is that fair?
That's fair. Give him a couple years even.
No, that's too long. Anyway, and then there's a gorgeous young person that's going to come down and visit me from northern Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, which is almost as far north as you can get in this entire United States outside of Alaska.
And I think it's as cold or colder from what I've heard.
They got cold. In fact, they had a foot of snow last night, which is only right. I really miss that snow. You know, that's a thing we go. Anyway, so what happens is WCNO and Joe Martech, or Team Martech, started doing these radio shows. Well, actually, we started doing these radio shows prior to 2004. And the three original members doing the radio shows were Greg Fasula, attorney.
That guy looks familiar, doesn't he?
Doesn't he look familiar? You know, he's getting old, you know. When I remember him 20 years ago, he looked a lot younger.
He still looks pretty young.
He still looks, yeah, he dyes his hair, though, I think.
Oh. No, I don't dye.
Yes, he dyes his hair.
No.
So, Greg Fasula, attorney, and then Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And, okay, folks, now, here's what we've done. Understand that this is Christian radio, but understand that Joe Martech is not what you call boring. I refuse to be boring. In fact, one of my clients that came off of this show, I said to him, I says, you know, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, he has to have a sense of humor to put up with you. And I said, well, okay, I'll take that. Greg, you think that's fair?
I think that's fair.
Because what happened, Greg Fasula, attorney, even though he has a sense of humor, attorneys are supposed to be droll and boring people.
Right.
Is that true?
For the most part.
For the most part. So what happened is, prior to 2004, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, big word, Joe Martech, financial advisor, I'm also called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. We started doing these shows, and the concept was very simple. I've got a lot of clients here in Florida and also in 13 other states because people move and referrals and whatever. And people would ask me questions that I don't have the answer to. And some of the major questions at the time were about homeowners insurance, because Florida has gone through a debacle of hurricanes and insurance companies dropping people, non-renewing people, charging them double and triple. So I needed to find what I considered an extremely credible independent insurance agent. Why independent? Well, if you work for one insurance company, you don't work for the client, you work for one insurance company, and if your insurance company can't do what that client needs, it's either called next, or maybe you can find somebody else that does it, but the companies that are prime companies that know you're a captive agent, they know you're only going to give them your leftovers, so they really don't like you. So you have to find an independent who has a big book of business, meaning lots of clients.
So that's where Dan Warren comes in.
It's a funny thing we should bring that up.
Yeah, I almost called him about a week ago.
Did you?
Almost.
Well, you should do it anyway.
I might consider it.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I would. I was just on the cusp of making my payment, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I ought to just call Dan
and get some new quotes. It costs nothing to get a quote. Nothing. And you get a price and what they do. What happens if you're an independent insurance agent of the caliber of Dan? Now, Greg, you and I have known Dan for a long, long time.
About 15 years?
At least.
Yeah.
At least. And here's what happens. An independent insurance agent can have two companies, three companies, four companies. That means they're not really very seasoned. Dan's only 37 years in business, right?
Mm-hmm. Here. Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
He's got between 80 and 100 companies. Not all homeowners, not all cars, but every type of insurance there is. And the reason
Which is good because you can you have that many companies, you can shop around with each company.
Well, you get a kick out of this. So my car insurance renewal comes up, and normally Dan's office will call me up and say, Joe, we shopped all these companies and we're going to get you a better deal. Mm. This year they called me up and said, Joe, you got to stay right where you are. And you got to quit having accidents and tickets.
But how many insurance agents do that? I never get a call.
No. 45 companies, they said they shopped.
And wow.
45. And the one that I've got is the best price I can possibly get. But they really hope for me that I don't keep driving the way I was driving.
Well, that would help.
I know. That was the code to it. So
that would help.
The concept of Dan as an independent office. His office with the power of computers today can put people into the computer on renewals. And hey, if he's got 20 or 30 companies that fit your criteria, shop them. And Dan has the best, in my opinion, the best companies that there are. So
he does what, homeowners and auto?
And business insurance and workman's compensation and boats. What Dan doesn't do, which is usually a big specialty, are high-priced yachts. Meaning, if it's $1 million, $2 million, $3 million boat, $5 million, he doesn't do that. That's a specialty.
That's a specialty, yeah.
And airplanes. That's another specialty. Mm-hmm. The people that do those, usually that's all they do.
Right.
And they work with specialty companies. Right. Now, which leads me into attorneys. Can you believe this?
No.
No.
It's hard to believe.
So what happens is when Joe Martek meets a new suspect or a prospect, one of the first questions I ask him is, are you ready to die? Now, if I was Greg Fasula, attorney, Greg would say, Joe, you're not supposed to say it that way. What you're supposed to say is...
We'd probably say, have you done your estate planning?
You see, now, a lot of people say, estate? I don't have an estate. I've got a double-wide trailer and a 1974 pickup. That's my estate.
If you have that pickup in the driveway, that's your estate.
That's your estate.
Absolutely.
Your estate can be a pack of gum as far as that goes.
Could be a pack of gum.
Yeah. So what happens is, have you done your estate planning? Which means, have you done a will or a trust? Because if Dan was sitting here, he'd say, if you haven't, the state's got it all figured out for you.
And that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. If you haven't done a will, you know, Florida has their intestacy laws.
Right.
And you pass away, that's the only way things are going to get distributed. Things will be figured out through the court system, through the Florida laws.
So here's one of my favorite things I do to Greg. Now, understand, folks, you can't watch us live on the computer, but on our other show that we did this morning, you can, because I do this to poor Greg because I want to see him smile and rub his hands together. Because let's say Joe Martek dies.
Not smiling.
I know. And my daughter shows up and says, hey, Greg, Dad's dead. He left $1 million subject to probate, and he does not have a trust. What are you going to charge me to handle this, and how long is it going to take me to get the money?
Well, since it's you that died, I'd probably charge double.
That's only right. But then my daughter would say, Greg, aren't there guidelines the state of Florida has how much you're supposed to charge?
Yeah, there is guidelines. There's statutes. The Florida Supreme Court set out guidelines for probate, and what is considered reasonable fee for estates up to $1 million is 3%.
Now, folks, I don't know how good you are at math, but Connie, do you know how much 3% is of $1 million?
Well, I could take a good guess, but I probably missed a few zeros.
Go ahead.
I think it has something to do with 33-something with zeros.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
You got close. You got 3,000 too much. Greg would not mind if you gave him 3,000 too much. But that's $30,000. $30,000. Mm-hmm. And that would become considered a normal fee. Right,
that would be considered reasonable, so nobody could argue with it because it's already by statute reasonable.
Yeah. Then my daughter would say, "Oh, Greg, you're killing me. Okay, I want to buy a Maserati. How long is it going to take me to get this money?" And you would say,
"I would say on average, probates take about 5-6 months. Now, if you're talking a huge $1 million probatable estate, it's probably going to be longer."
So 6 months to maybe a year, maybe 8 months, whatever, probably at least 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay, now then my daughter would say, "Greg, didn't you counsel my dad ever?" And you would say,
"Of course."
He didn't want to listen. Who wouldn't want to listen? Say, what could he have done to have made life easier for me and it wouldn't have cost as much? And you would say,
"A living trust."
And she'd say, "Okay, how much would it have cost him to do that living trust about?"
Yeah, so you know, that's going to depend on exactly what I have to do.
And right.
It could range anywhere from, you know, a few hundred to 1,000, you know, 1,500, just depending on how complicated it is.
So let's just say
depending on what I have to do.
$800 to $1,500 would be a good range.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the complexity.
Yeah, if you're talking, you know, doing the trust and doing all the documents that usually come with and complement the trust.
Now, by the way, my daughter wouldn't come up and say, "By the way, are you going to do a living will, which means should I pull the plug?"
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. "Are you going to do a health care surrogate, which mm-hmm. means somebody should tell the doctors to kill me or not kill me?"
Yeah. I mean, those things are a part of estate planning, too, in a lot of times.
And would you do a power of attorney that lets me be in charge of stuff in case he doesn't die and he's laying there in a hospital mm-hmm. incompetent?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All of these are part of the deal.
Yeah. And the power of attorney usually complements that trust in that. In the trust, when you have your assets in the trust, you've got a successor trustee named someone to be able to take care of assets that are in the trust and do whatever needs to be done with those assets. But say, for instance, you didn't fully fund your trust and you forgot to put...
Now, folks, you have to understand now. He's using words that nobody understands except attorneys and me. Connie, do you know what fund a trust means?
Not necessarily.
See, I'm telling you, and she's actually listened to us for a year or two, and she still doesn't know.
And you know, the problem is a lot of people that have trusts, they don't know means either. They don't know what it means. They never did it. The attorney or whoever they got the trust from didn't explain it
didn't
to
help
them. And they have probate.
Well,
even
here's
if they
what
have
happens.
The trust.
If you have a trust, would you have to transfer the ownership of the trust of the asset
mm-hmm.
from you to your trust? Now understand, this is like going from your right pocket to your left pocket. It's
exactly.
still yours. You mm-hmm. control mm-hmm. it. There is no difference. But when you're dead, that trust is still alive as long as it has money, assets.
The big difference is you're dead, but that asset isn't in your name.
Nope, it's in the trust.
It's in the trust.
And the trust has all the rights and authorities of a person, but it has no mind.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're alive, you are the mind for the trust. And when you're dead, you now name a successor trustee, which mm-hmm. would be my daughter.
Yeah.
And it would be up to her to do whatever it said in that trust, correct?
So, yeah, it's just a big legal technicality. The asset's not in your name. The person that dies, it's in this document. And that document doesn't die. So whoever's in charge of that trust distributes it out, whatever's in there, to the beneficiaries, whoever you name as your beneficiaries.
Right.
The way that you say in
how they
in the
get
trust.
It and all that good
exactly.
stuff. That's what the trustee, the next person after I die.
The next person, yeah.
So what happens is my daughter would say, "Okay, so Greg, now he's done this. Instead of paying you $30,000, how long do you think it'll take to settle this thing?"
Well, when you have a trust, you know, you have immediate access to the assets. So there's no going through court.
So bank accounts, brokerage accounts, anything to do that liquid you can have within a week or two.
Anything liquid you could do quickly.
Yeah.
You know, of course, if there's real property, anything
like
that.
If you have real estate, it might take you a few months to sell it.
Sell it, yeah.
But basically, she could be getting the cash out of the bank. She could be cashing in the brokerage account.
Yeah, and what she would do is she would pay like funeral expenses.
Yeah.
She would pay taxes. She would pay creditors.
Whatever.
You know,
yeah.
She would settle those things. And you know, however long that might take after that's done, you're able to distribute out.
But she also could take, let's say that she immediately could go find $100,000 in the bank, which would make me very happy because I don't have that much. But let's just say I did.
Yeah.
She could go take that $100,000 out of the bank right now. And let's say I wanted to divvy that up between the four kids. She could say, okay, fine, I'm going to give each one of you 10 right now.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, I'm going to start paying bills.
Yeah,
and as it settles, I'll start giving you more and more.
Yeah, right? That'd be a good idea. You keep money just to pay the taxes or creditors that
or
might
whatever
come about.
Needs to happen.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so literally then she'd say, okay, Greg, it was $30,000 I was going to have to pay you, and it was going to take 6 months to a year. Now this is going to take a lot shorter period of time. How much money are you going to gouge me for now? And you would say, this is my daughter, you know, she talks like me.
Well, I'm going to gouge her for whatever, how many hours that I spend on that administration of that trust. You know, it could just be a few hours.
And it could be $500, could be $1,000. You know, it depends how many hours you put in.
How many hours you put in.
It
depends on what exactly I need to do. And usually with the trust administration, if everything is done properly, if it's funded, there shouldn't be that much to do.
So the whole concept to me is this. Now, not everybody needs a trust. We know that.
No, you know, I see a lot of people that come into my office and that they think that they need the trust. But when we sit down, we talk about what they own, what their assets are. They don't have many probatable assets. So if you don't have probatable assets, you know, usually a will is going to be due just as well. You don't need the trust.
Well, see, not
because
everybody.
Because in your example, you're saying $1 million probatable estate.
Right?
Now, that's awfully rare. Awfully rare. Because usually people hold their assets in ways that go directly to a beneficiary. So that's not probatable. And so there, you know, that's going to be a rare
guess
circumstance.
What? We got a call. We have to take this. We're not allowed to talk when there's a caller here.
Okay.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got a question for Greg.
Mm-hmm.
If you're transferring assets now into this trust,
right?
Do you lose your homestead?
Possibly,
and, you know, for like the 3% increase in taxes, do you lose that when you transfer it?
You have to make sure that your trust has language in there. In my trust, I have standard language where that trust can hold that property, your residence, as homestead, and it keeps all the aspects of being homestead. But you have to make sure you have that, because when you do transfer that property, you're going to have to reapply for a homestead because, you know, technically it's a transfer of property, your residence, your homestead, out of your name to this document. So when you go to reapply, you know, you go to the property appraiser and you go to reapply for your homestead, they're going to want to see that language in the trust where that trust can hold the homestead.
They'll inspect the trust.
They will.
And as long as the language is in there, we have never had a problem as long as, in fact, Let me just toot Greg's horn just a hair. Never, as long as I've known Greg Fasula, which has been at least 150 years, right?
At least.
Or something like that, that we have never had a problem because the language is proper. But I have literally talked to these clerk of the courts, and they look at it and say, this language has to be such that allows that. So the answer is...
That's a problem, you know, with a lot of times with some trusts, and especially out-of-state trusts, they don't have that language. So what happens there is what we have to do is amend the trust. And then we basically put that language into the trust so that trust can hold the homestead.
Now, you sound like you've gone through this situation. So was this a setup question that Greg paid you to call today?
No. I was more concerned about when we transfer it into the trust, that they reappraise the property and boost it up to its full.
No.
Full value because, you know, it's changing names.
They do not want that to happen.
No. Yeah, it is changing names, but it's still yours.
Yeah, it's called John Doe's property. Now it's called John Doe's trust property. So literally all they care about at the county is when you go down is to bring the trust with you, and it's like your left pocket, your right pocket, and never, ever, ever have I heard that brought up where they reappraise or lose your homestead or change the 3% thing. And for those of you that don't know what he's talking about, when you have a homestead in Florida, once you have it homesteaded, they are guaranteeing you that the property taxes cannot go up more than 3% per year. And that's a very, very, very important thing to have, and one of the big things for a homestead, because, hey, who wants their taxes to go up to start with, let alone 30 or 40 or 50% based on the market?
I mean, there's a lot of benefits.
A lot of benefits to homestead.
There's the exemption.
Okay.
Protection.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, all right, thanks for the
thank
call.
Thank you for calling and stirring the pot for us. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, the homestead, you know, and we didn't talk about that when we talk about probatable assets.
Right.
Technically, it's not a probatable asset.
Right.
If you have that home going to a spouse or children, even through a will, it can pass to them as homestead.
As long as...
You know, you'd have to use the will, but technically it doesn't go through the probate process.
The whole concept is there are certain things that are not subject to probate. Let's just talk about that one, homestead. Your homestead property, which in Florida is kind of an interesting thing. You can have up to 160 acres and two residential homes plus a few outbuildings and call that a homestead. Mm-hmm. And that's Florida rules. Mm-hmm. Secondly, that's not subject to probate. What else is not subject to probate? Well, if you have an IRA, retirement account.
Yeah.
That's not subject to probate. That has named beneficiaries.
As long as you have named beneficiaries.
And that's critical. Mm-hmm. You have to name people.
Because a lot of times, you know, people have IRAs, and whoever they named as their beneficiary, say they have a spouse who might have predeceased them, and they didn't name any secondary beneficiary, and okay, so then what happens? You do have probate.
100% of the time, I shouldn't say 100%, because nothing in the world seems to be 100%, but almost always, and I can't remember one time, I would name a beneficiary for an IRA, which is normally the spouse, and then we have what's called contingent beneficiaries, which would be normally the children. And if you don't have children, you'd name your sister, your brother, the church, somebody that would be next in line so it doesn't have to go through the courts.
But it doesn't always happen.
Well, people, first of all, Greg, you and I both know, everybody in our group takes what we do very, very seriously. And we work very hard to not ever make a mistake. And when we find mistakes, we're not happy about it for that client, but luckily if we find them before they die or before they run into trouble, we can correct it.
Correct it before it happens.
Now, there's other things that are not subject to probate. So the IRA is not. So are 401Ks, 403Bs, 457. Any type of retirement plan is technically not subject to probate. But more important than that, there's another rule. Your homestead and all of these things I just mentioned are also not subject to attachment by creditors. So let's just say you're out in a car and you run somebody over with a car and they sue you for $10 million and you lose.
Yeah, and that's as long as it's protected homestead. So that's as long as it's going to blood-related heir.
Yep. So that homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors. So is your IRA, your 401k. So are annuity contracts. There are certain things that are not subject to attachment by creditors and not subject to probate. Now, this is a big deal for us that are in the business to make sure you, the client, the prospect, understands. Now,
So the bottom line is people come in, they say, I need a trust, and we go through that. Okay, you have this insurance policy, you have this 401, you have beneficiary's name, you have the home. Well, if that's the only thing that you're worried about and it's homestead, it's protected homestead, maybe you don't need the trust.
Now, if you have, let's say, rental property, and you've got two or three or five different pieces of property, or even one, well, those things are more subject to probate, and there comes the trust. It really starts to protect.
Yeah, when you have other properties that aren't homestead, then to me it really you know, it becomes a no-brainer, because then you do have probate.
That's where the trust comes in.
The only way for that property.
And let's say you've got a $1 million, $500,000, $300,000 boat, or antique cars, anything.
Or if you have property out of state.
Oh, big time.
You have more than one probate. You have an in-state and an out-of-state probate.
So we avoid all of that with a trust. Understand, a trust is like a person. It has all the rights and authorities of a person, as long as it has assets, as long as it has value. But the person that controls it is what's called the trustee. And while you're alive, usually it's called a living trust rather than an irrevocable one. And we're not going to go heavy into there. But a living trust means as long as I'm alive, I control it.
Yeah.
The day I drop dead, whoop, can't change. We have the next trustee. Mm-hmm. That person has to do what it says in the trust.
Yeah, people have asked me that question, what does living trust mean? Why is it a living trust?
Yeah.
And I think that that's why it is a living trust. As far as that, you know, I've heard that while you're living, you're able to control these assets, and you do whatever you want with them while you're living.
It's also called a revocable trust, because that means as long as you're alive, you can change your mind. You can put it in, take it out, put it back in, take it back out. Mm-hmm. As long as you are alive, you can control it. Now, you're dead now. Hey, it's all over. That becomes irrevocable. Whatever it says in that trust has to be done by the next trustee. And normally, what I suggest to people, and I know Greg, we normally suggest at least two more trustees in case the first one becomes incapacitated or quits or whatever. You've got some succession that people can be in line to handle these assets.
Yeah, and who is the trustee? That's someone. First, it's you. I mean, when you make the trust, you're the grantor. You're the person that establishes the trust, and you name yourself as the trustee. So you take care of whatever's in the asset.
Right.
Whatever assets in the trust, you're able to take care of. So you're the trustee. But if you were to become incompetent or die, then you've named someone to be able to do that for you.
So that kind of flows to the next document, which is called a power of attorney.
Yeah, and like I say, power of attorney, it's a great thing to have. It's especially important if you don't have a trust, because without a trust, if there's some asset out there, you're not able to take care of. You're not able to write a check. You're not able to do whatever needs to be done, buy, sell property, whatever needs to be done with that asset. If you're not able to, you've designated that someone to do that for you, to act in your shoes, act on your behalf.
You know, you take about a person, let's say they become fried, the brain's gone, and they can't make decisions. You can't make a power of attorney in other words, if I want to appoint somebody as a power of attorney now, Greg would look at me and say, well, you know, I don't know if we'd let your dad make you power of attorney because I think he's fried already. So you have to be competent.
You have to be competent.
In order to give authority to somebody to be that power of attorney.
And if you don't have that trust, I mean, we do it with a trust too, but it's kind of backs up.
Yep.
It backs up your trust, and it backs up your successor trustee. But if you've done a regular will, it just becomes all the more important.
Oh, boy.
Because if something happens and you're not able to handle that asset, you've got guardianship. You got to go through your children or you know, family, whoever it might be, has to go through guardianship and get guardians.
Oh,
and
Lord.
Nobody wants to do that.
That is a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing.
And expensive.
Doctors
and
are involved.
Yeah,
guardianships are terrible.
Could I interject something here?
Mm-hmm. You will anyway.
since you're on the subject that's close to my heart, I'm an innocent bystander. I've been caught in these situations a couple times. Due to my residential positioning. And I had actually talked, you know, Greg and I have spoken about this before briefly when he's been up here. Mm-hmm. You know, it was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to him and, you know,
but
Joe
you're not
about
technically
somebody.
The guardian.
I know,
anything,
but I'm helping them. And I actually have something in the mail today, and it has to do exactly with what you all are talking about. I went and I mailed it on my own. And it has to do exactly, we're talking about property tax, homestead exemption. There's two properties involved now. I spoke to the original owner, And they didn't do anything. They let it go. They had health issues. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to the other person that's now handling it, and now they have to have two attorneys involved.
One of the problems.
Yeah, and you see how expensive it
is. It's expensive and time consuming. And here's another problem. You, as an individual, have to be a bit careful about what you're trying to do, even though you're trying to do the right thing, because these rightful heirs might come back and say, hey, wait a minute, you didn't have authority to do anything, let alone help us. So the whole concept of putting this documentation into place while you can is critical. So
that's why, I mean, the power of attorney is really important. You want to avoid guardianship situations.
It's
expensive. But it's doctors.
But I know. I was thinking about it, and I just made some copies for them.
Who are you requested by? Are they the rightful heir?
Yes.
Do they have authority?
Yeah,
do they have written authority? So then if they ask you to help them and you're doing it in their name and with their authority, you're not putting yourself at too much risk. As Greg would tell you, you know, this is Sue America.
Right, I know.
And
I
any
know what
chance
you're
people can sue if they're collectible, mm-hmm. thank goodness you don't have any money coming.
Right, that's right. They're not going to get much out of me.
That's it. But there's another thing that when we start to go, in fact, here's an example that Greg and I have lived through. Had a client of mine, her and her husband, no children. She had a sister, and she had nieces and nephews. And her husband died, and she was worth a little over $1 million. And she was on dialysis, and she had told me that she's going to go on dialysis for 1 year, and if she doesn't get better, she's going to quit and die. And she didn't ask for permission. She was just telling me. So anyway, she goes in the hospital because she's quit dialysis, and the hospital doesn't like the fact that you're dying slowly. They want to help you hustle along.
Help you along.
So she had this trust, this document, and 2 weeks before she died, she says, I want to change it. And I says, boy, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the heirs that you have already written down that were going to get all of this $1 million, now mm-hmm. you're going to dilute it, and you're going to add different things, different people, and you're going to change this one heir from getting $100,000 to getting $15,000, and that'll make them real happy.
Yes. So I mean, you know, when you look at case law, I mean, it's a big red flag.
Big red flag.
If you change your will, and when you're rehab type setting, a couple weeks before you pass away.
Oh, big red flag.
It's a big red flag. But doesn't mean it's not legal.
Not valid,
as long
not
as that
legal.
Person is competent.
Competent mm-hmm. is the magic word.
Is the magic
word. Well, this person was. She was 100% competent. Her mind was fine. Her body was just going to quit on her. So I said, we just can't go ahead and write this thing up and have you sign it and get it notarized. What we're going to do, we're going to videotape this thing, and we're going to do it twice. We're going to have a professional videographer come in that you're going to pay, and we're going to have an attorney, which happened to be Greg, come in and ask you the questions that you have to answer with no help from outside, and we're going to do it two times.
Mm-hmm.
Two times within mm-hmm. 4 or 5 days mm-hmm. to make sure she was competent. Well, bigger than all get out, she died. Yeah. And then the family said, whoa, how much money am I getting? So I sent them a copy of the video and the trust, and yeah. there was never a question. Because
they were able to see that she knew exactly what yep. she was doing, and, yep. and this is what she wanted. I mean, video is great for that
wonderful.
Type of situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
it worked.
I mean, without that, it could have been a problem.
Well, you know, if I was other members of the family without that, I would have been upset.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you would have been upset, and maybe you would have...
hired an attorney.
You might have hired an attorney and started a contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though there might not have really been grounds. You might have just been fishing to see if there was grounds.
And you know, people do fish. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, that's what you do. But here's what it is. Do I want to walk away from $100,000 and settle for $15,000 with no justification whatsoever, just a piece of paper signed that might have been coerced?
Right.
So literally,
right.
the fact that you have to... What I was concerned about making sure was that there was proof that there was no coercion
right.
that this client was done.
Right, and that she was able.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
There's another document I want to share with you folks, and it's called a TOD, Transfer on Death. Now, let's say you've got a bank account, checking account, savings account, CD, I don't care what it is, and you drop dead and you don't have a will or you don't have a trust. that money is now going to be hung up into the court system necessary, probably, and it's a problem. But if you go to the bank and you say, hey, when I die, I want this money to go to my son, my daughter, my whoever you want,
mm-hmm.
and you put a document in, which is called a transfer on death, and mm-hmm. almost, I have never seen a bank that doesn't have them.
Yeah, and the banks are usually pretty good at that as far as when you're setting up an account, they ask you if you want to do this.
Yep.
And for the most part, it's a really good idea.
And you can do it on brokerage accounts, which I automatically do it for people. Same mm-hmm. thing. You name beneficiaries. It's the same concept. So the whole object is, how do we avoid the court system and the expense? Well, we put certain documents in place. Now, there's no way to know these things until you get taught. You know, we take it for granted because we do mm-hmm. it every day. But literally, if you don't know. So these are important things to remember. TOD, trust, wills.
TOD, POD, in trust for. Yep. You know, it all works the same
way. All works the same way. Here's the key to this. Anytime you have a question, you call the radio show, 888-221-8990. This is a toll-free number from any place in the USA, I think. As far as I know. 888-write this number down. This is important. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, you call the show, and even if you don't talk to us on the radio, Connie will take your name and number and have us call you, and we don't charge anybody anything to help them answer questions. You can actually go in and see Greg in his office. He won't charge you until you hire him.
Yeah, you can, because, you know, I don't like to charge people to tell them I can't help them out.
Yeah.
No, I don't do this.
And sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know exactly what they want to do. And once I know exactly what the job is, I'll let them know, and I'll let them know what the charge would be. And then they can go from there.
Now, there's other members of the group, too, that we haven't talked about, but I need to talk about. And normally, Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a regular CPA, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness in the court system, means he's recognized by the courts as an expert witness, and he can testify either for or against somebody. He's an integral part of our group because when it comes to taxes, it's only 70,000 pages. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's got it all memorized, right?
I'm sure he does.
Well, I had a client just last week that came in to see me, and they're going to, in a divorce settlement, get $30,000 out of a retirement account from their spouse.
Right.
And she said, Joe, can that be transferred to me tax-free, like a rollover?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I doubt it, but let me get a hold of the person that knows that mm-hmm. stuff.
Vince. Well,
and not only do I doubt it, now I'm sure I doubt it, because the answer is no.
The answer is no.
No.
Because I was thinking probably maybe yes.
Well, the only way it can, if you're alive, it helps. And not married. If you're married, you might be able to transfer it. It depends on the employer also.
Oh, okay.
So there comes a situation. Now, if I die... And
that's
a
different story. Then.
I have an IRA.
Yeah.
I have a named beneficiary.
Yeah.
That transfers to them.
Yeah, can roll over to them.
Rolls over, no mm-hmm. tax.
Mm-hmm.
So understand, there's, and I've seen people do this by mistake. First of all, if I'm married, I can name my spouse as my beneficiary, and it becomes, when I die, that rolls over to that person. And I've seen $1 million roll over,
mm-hmm.
tax free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then when that person dies, if they have children, blood children or adopted children,
right,
that can roll to them tax-free.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. As long as it stays in that direct bloodline mm-hmm. or, you know, the chronological, that line,
mm-hmm.
it moves tax-free to that person.
Oh, okay.
Now, let's say I'm 80 years old and I'm taking mandatory distributions out of an IRA.
Right.
And I die.
Right.
And it goes to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She has to continue taking the mandatory distributions based on her age.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Is it based on age?
Now, she dies, and she's 80 years old, mm-hmm. and my kids are 30. They mm-hmm. they have to take distributions based on mom's age.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, oh, okay. just these are just rules.
Okay.
But the point is, the whole thing can roll, but then the distribution.
But once it goes down to the kids, it's based on that last spouse who passed.
If that person had taken distributions, if they're not under, if they're under age 70 and a half and haven't taken, then it becomes the child's at their age.
Oh, okay.
Just little glitches in the system that are not critical until somebody drops dead, and then you want to find out what you can do, because, you know, there's nothing like all of a sudden inheriting, let's say, $100,000 and having to give 40 or 50 or 30% of it to the government right away.
Right.
If you can avoid that, obviously, who doesn't want to do it? And there's legal ways to do it if it's titled properly.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go back into the legal parts, which can be a trust, a will, an IRA, a 401k, a 457, 403. There's lots of numbers and letters, and that's our job to do that. 888-221-8990. Okay, class, did you write that number down when I suggested? Listen, even if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call that show that's at any time after the show. A lot of people, can you believe this? I might intimidate some people on the radio.
No, I can't believe that.
Never attorneys, I know, but you never know who.
No.
They don't always want to talk to me on the radio.
They probably just don't want to talk in general on the radio.
Thank you, Greg. You're covering for me. It's really, I appreciate that. Greg, of course, Greg's been covering me for 20 years, so it's not a big deal. So we got Vince Rizzino, CPA.
Vince is probably a little busy this time of year.
A little busy. He's burning the midnight oil. This is his tax season.
Yep.
And Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, I already talked about him. And I got to tell you, in my humble opinion, he is the premier agent on the Treasure Coast. Premier meaning I don't think there's a better person in the business than Dan. Another caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. I hear you guys talking, and I got a situation here that may be valuable to your listeners and enforce what you guys are saying. Long story short, my aunt is in New York and had nothing planned, no power of attorney, no trust, just a will, which I find out after talking to the attorney, was dated back in 2004. Now, she has visits to the hospital and then to a rehab facility, going back and forth now, and they're about to release her. She's been belligerent lately, and they won't take her back at the place where she was. So now she's going to need better care, which is more expensive, and they're estimating about $15,000 a month. Now, needless to say, there's one account with one joint person. She has no spouse. There is a brother-in-law that was listed as a health care proxy, and a joint account with maybe $10,000 in it. So as we all know, that's not going to last. What would you guys recommend? I don't know if she's competent or not, and she hasn't had a chance to sign a POA, but based on her condition, and I haven't seen her again, it's in New York.
Yeah.
What would you guys recommend doing as the next step?
Well, of course, New York has their own laws, but, you know, if that was to occur here, that you're right. The, I mean, the big issue is competency. But when you're talking about healthcare surrogate, you say the brother-in-law has that already?
He has that, and they've already contacted her from the hospital. She's got a do not resuscitate, and that was covered, but they've been going to him for direction.
Yeah.
And now they're asking for all kinds of financial statements and this and that, and we don't have access to it because no one was ever listed.
So, of course, the healthcare surrogate is only dealing with healthcare issues. And
exactly.
Where, the power of attorney is finances. So.
What is she? Assets does she, have more than this $10,000 in assets?
Yeah, that's a small account, and luckily she listed him as a joint person. They don't have checks on it, joint checks, but he has check writing and access to the account.
But what about?
Yeah,
what
he would have direct access.
Does she have other? She has other money.
He has other assets, and that's where I actually have the same financial advisor, believe it or not. But he, you know, under law, can't provide any of that information for me. I'm a quarter. I guess
she hasn't named anybody. I feel bad for you, the family, because if a decent, forget that word. Forget the word decent financial advisor. Let's just say a financial advisor should have interjected in there and said, hey, we need to take care of this stuff and get a power of attorney, get these things taken care of, because now the court system sounds like it's going to have to get involved.
It's a tough situation.
You have no choice.
You may have no choice.
And then the next thing of the question, if she has assets, then the nursing home, et cetera, will be entitled to those assets to pay the bill for her recovery or long-term care or whatever it might be. And then when she is finally broke or nearly broke, different states have different rules, but Florida, I think you're allowed to keep around $25,000, but over and above that, you have to spend it until you're broke, and then Medicaid comes in and pays the nursing home bill.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the rate
of...
At the rate of $10,000 to $15,000 a month, let's face it, you suck up $100,000 to $150,000 in no time at all, and a living will has nothing to do with that. We're talking about if she had put together a trust or a document, including a power of attorney, some of these things may have been avoidable. But in the circumstance you're talking about, I don't think there's anything anybody can do except the people that are taking care of her will have access, even if they have to go through the court system, to her assets.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the moral...
And if the brother-in-law takes that $10,000 out of the account and spends it on who knows
well,
what...
if he's a joint owner, he could do that.
Yeah, sure. He could do that. But on the other hand, the nursing home or the state might come up and say, no, he's got to give that back.
Half of it, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to be a
and
bit... Yeah.
Yeah, so the moral of the...
tell you guys how important it was in the listeners, because it's totally relevant to what you're saying. If anyone's even on the fence about doing it,
it alleviates all
this stress and all these problems, and I've been through both sides. And I got to tell you, this I'm not even involved this closely because she's in New York, but there is no comparison.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story. And, you know, you need to do it ahead of time before it gets to that situation.
Once you're incompetent, and there's not an attorney that's worth his weight in anything that is going to attest to the fact that she was competent to sign documents now.
No.
Because there comes the big test. And when you contest a will or a trust, they're going to come back after and say, was that person competent at the time of signature? So you can't do it after the fact. You've got to do it before the fact.
Yep.
I hear you. And it's unfortunate because they're up in New York, and this guy, the brother-in-law, has a full plate. His wife has diabetes. She's in a wheelchair, actually had her hands amputated, and he just fell and broke his arm. They've got two grandkids that they're trying to take care of.
Wow.
Meanwhile, he's the first name proxy. It's really brutal. So we're going to fly up to New York and try and help him out, maybe get some of this, at least evaluate her. But I don't want to keep you guys too long, but I was just, you know.
Well, you know, here comes the situation that it quite honestly... I don't care what you do to help. You're only going to help nobody except the court system and the nursing home, because they are entitled to be compensated if there are assets. So they are going to go a great search for these assets, and then they may get the court system involved and do affidavits and get people to swear that this is the truth about these assets. And hey, you got to tell the truth. People try to hide stuff, but let me tell you, that's fraud, and that's punishable by jail and all kinds of little side effects. You know,
when you're dealing with Medicaid,
Medicaid would find out.
They don't like that.
That's federal too.
That's federal, yeah. So what happens is literally, you're going to go do the right thing and try to help. But if you can alleviate the people that are up there and let them know that they don't have to go out of their way, let the people find the assets on their own, even though. Because it's not their responsibility, and they're trying to do the right thing. But hey, if a person's out to lunch and doesn't know what's going on, you know, we see this constantly where somebody has Alzheimer's or they were in an accident, and there's no way to help them get better. But it's against the law to let them die or to kill them. So you've got to go through this system and suck up all this money, and then the state comes in and says, hey, if you hid some of this money, we want it back anyway. It's not a fair system, but guess what?
There's a look back period as far as
it is the system.
Also.
So hey, good luck, my man. If we can help you in any way, you can call us from New York if you want. But you know, bottom line is, we the laws are different from state to state, but not that much different. That
one last thing, guys, and then I'll let you go. I just was talking to them, and they mentioned something about a lien situation, possibly on her apartment or her assets. Would they initiate that at the hospital or the recovery rehab place, or is that something we have to initiate?
You would not initiate it. You would not initiate it.
I don't know how liens work.
Yeah, they would have to.
See, in Florida, we have a homestead which is not subject to attachment.
Right.
That's exempt.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that the nursing home wouldn't like you to sell it, but it is exempt.
Yeah, I don't know if up there if
they have that kind of law. So what happens when you go up there, it might even on the internet find out if there's a homestead regulation in New York, and is it subject to attachment by creditors or not.
Is your residence protected?
Residence protected. If it's home, now you understand, in Florida we have to file for homestead and record it. And maybe it's this, I'm pretty sure it's the same every place if there is such a law. So that could be exempt, and she could have a $1 million apartment in Manhattan as an example that might be exempt. And at least the family would let this person go and let Medicaid come in and pay the bill, and then you guys would end up with something. But
point is,
the law is the law, and there's nothing wrong with trying to make it work to your advantage, but you need to be aware of what it is.
No, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and thanks for the info. I hope the listeners are out there taking heed of this.
I hope so, too. That's what we're here for. Thank you for calling.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
You too. Thank you. So what he's saying is, you know, is a perfect example. When you're talking about estate planning, it's not just wills and trusts.
No,
you have to plan for potential incompetency.
Here comes the power of attorney and the health care circuit. The power of attorney, as Greg said earlier, is such a magnificent document.
Mm-hmm.
It can cover, I mean, if all of a sudden a person's not competent, that power of attorney just all of a sudden kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I had it happen today. I visited a daughter's taking care of mom and handling her money, and we had to have the power of attorney sent in with a documents to get the money to the daughter to take care of her mom.
Anyway,
we're winding down. We got a couple minutes left. Let me just tell you one more last thing, folks, and I need to bring this up. Anybody that's not happy with where their money is, especially in the bank, we have exchange-traded debt instruments that are paying 5 and 6%. Anybody wants to get information on these things, just give us a call. I got another caller. We're going to do it quickly. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
I want to find out if you had a person had a life insurance and she didn't leave a beneficiary and she left it to the state of herself, and how could you get that to have her buried?
Let me give you this. If you have a life insurance contract and you die and you do not have a beneficiary named, the rightful heirs, meaning blood relatives, the next in line, let's say they had no children but they had siblings, sisters, brothers, they would be entitled to those proceeds. And those proceeds from a life insurance contract are not subject to probate and they're not subject to creditors. So,
but I think she said there wasn't a beneficiary?
There was
Did
no
you
beneficiary.
Say there was no beneficiary?
Right.
They had it to herself, to the state of herself.
So what happened? She did not name beneficiaries. She was the owner, and that's kind of whoever wrote that thing wrote it wrong. There should always be a named beneficiary. Anyway.
So you're talking about, you know, potential probate. You know, if you want to give me a call, give me a call at my office.
What happens is this. Connie's got your name and number, and she will give your name and number to Greg. He'll talk to you off the air because we are running. In fact, we not only are running out of time, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for calling, and Greg will give you a call off the air, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we're down really to 15 seconds. You go ahead and answer the phone, and then tell us to shut up, and we'll leave you until next week. Should I be quiet now, Connie? In time to be quiet? Connie says, yes, be quiet, Joe.
Be quiet.
Till next
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
Adonai, Oshieni Elohai, Lado.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO.